Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, God. Daniel chapter 9, we're going to read verses 2 and 3, and then we're going to jump down and read verses 20 to 23. Daniel 9, verses 2 and 3, and then 20 to 23. And it reads like this. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books of the numbers the years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now jump down to verses 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord, my God, for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your plea for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you. For you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you, O God. We come before you asking you for preaching power in this hour, O God. We ask that you would anoint me afresh and hide me behind the cross of Calvary, O God. We ask that you would open up our ears that we may hear from you. Open up our eyes that we may see what you are doing in the Spirit. And open up our hearts, O God, that we may receive your word on this day, O God. Be in the midst and move in the midst of your people, O God. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. We see here in Daniel 9, something amazing going on. He's encountering God by standing in the gap. Encountering God by standing in the gap. We know that Daniel is acquainted with God. We know that when they were first taken into captivity, Daniel was just a young man. He was a teenager. And in about Daniel chapter 2, we see that Daniel has always been a man of prayer. Even from being a youth, a teenager, Daniel sought the face of God. And on one occasion, not only did he seek the face of God, but he went and he found his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, I need you guys to be in agreement with me in prayer because I need to be able to interpret the king's dream. And so in this situation, we see that he goes out and he gathers his praying partners. And he asks them for help so that he may interpret correctly what the king's dream is. But now, in chapter 9, Daniel is an older man. Some say he's in his 80s now. And he's still seeking God. He's still praying. And we see Daniel reading His word. You never get too old to read your word, to have it close to you. And then he says, as he's reading his word, he's reading from Jeremiah. And, you know, it doesn't say where in Jeremiah he's reading from. But let me use my spiritual eyes and say he's probably reading somewhere around. And they didn't have chapters and verses, but for our sake, we do. Praise God. So somewhere around Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12, and Daniel's reading the word of God. And he comes across the word, and he's considering what the word of God says in Jeremiah 25. This whole land shall become a ruin and a waste. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then after the 70 years are complete, and see, this is where it says that he perceives the end of the time of Jerusalem to be under captivity to be 70 years. So he's reading this thing in the word, and it's coming back to his remembrance. And it says, then after 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation and the Chaldeans for their iniquities, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste. And so as he's considering the word of God and he's reading the word of God, the first thing Daniel thinks to do, he says, I need to pray. Because these 70 years, I'm an old man now, and I've seen some things, and I'm looking around the community, and there's all kind of things going on in the community. And I know, Lord, that you said the 70 years was about to be completed, and I need to hear from you, God. And so the first thing he does is he prays. But when he prays, he has to prepare himself. See, when we go before God, we just can't go just any old kind of way. He gives us an example here that we've got to prepare our hearts. We've got to prepare ourselves for prayer. So he says he seeks God by prayer and pleads for mercy with fasting. He sacrifices himself. Because when you're standing in the gap, you got to be empty of everything that is in you and be open to what God is doing in the midst of this people. And he said he humbled himself. And so he clothes himself with sackcloth and ashes. And then when you see the posture of Daniel humbling himself, then in verse 4, he said, he prayed and confessed. Now, when you see that word confess there, there's a Hebrew word for that, yada, Y-A-D-A, confess, confessing sins. But in addition to that, we can see the posture that Daniel takes, because yada, extended hands. Extended hands, God. I'm humbling myself before you, not just in my physical body. I'm giving myself to you, so I'm confessing, surrendering to you, God. Hands up, extended, the posture. Yada. And then he begins to pray. And we see in verse 4, he starts with acknowledging who God is. When we begin our prayers, we need to understand who we're praying to. And he says, God, you're great. God, you're awesome. God, you are a covenant keeper. See, we got to remind God that what he promises us, that what he promises us, that he is going to bring it to pass. God, you're a covenant keeper. You love steadfastly with those who love you and those that keep your commandments. So he begins his prayer with adoration, with acknowledging the greatness, the awesomeness of God. Is our God great? Is our God awesome? And so as Daniel is standing in the gap, then we see in verses 5 through 15, he begins to confess the sins of himself, and we see him confessing the sins of the nation. And these are some of the sins he begins to confess in all those verses from 5 to 15. He says, "We have sinned." So when you're interceding, when you're standing in the gap, you've got to be in one accord with the people you're praying for. You have to humble yourself. You have to feel. You have to see. And he saw in those 70 years everything that was going on in the land. And he says, "We have sinned. We've done wrong. We've acted wickedly. We've rebelled, God. We turned aside. We didn't listen to the prophets, your servants, as they were trying to tell us what thus saith the Lord. We turned a deaf ear. We committed treachery, God. We didn't obey your voice. We refused to obey your laws and statutes." And he continues on and he says, "Even the rulers have not obeyed, nor did they even set an example for us." He said, "We didn't even turn from our iniquities. Even when you were showing us, punishing us, keeping us here in captivity, we should have saw God, but we didn't even turn from our iniquities." And then in verse 7 and 8, as he's continuing, as he's confessing the sins of the people, he says to God, "You are righteous. You are righteous, God. But shame belongs to us." And then he begins to name all those groups of people that shame is on. He says the men of Judah. He says the inhabitants of Jerusalem. All of Israel, people near, people far, our kings, our princes, and our fathers. We have committed treachery. And he recognizes in verses 11 through 13, he begins to say, "I recognize, God, that all those things you talked about in the law of Moses, the curses that you talked about, has come upon Jerusalem and has come upon Israel." Let's look at what the law of Moses says. Look at Leviticus. What does the law of Moses say? As he's praying, he says, "God, I understand what you're doing." Then he said in Leviticus 26, verses 34, "Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it is desolate. While you are in enemy's land, then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath." See, last week, the message was Sabbath rest, the need for Sabbath rest. God had told the people that they should work 6 years on the land, but the seventh year that the land would be at rest. And if we don't take the rest, God will put you at rest. And so he says that because you did not take the rest, that the land would enjoy its rest. And so we see Daniel understanding what's happening. And then down in verse 40 in Leviticus, it says, that 26th chapter, "But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, in their treachery. See, Daniel speaking back what the word of God says, using the same language. We've committed treachery, God. We've rebelled against your word, God. We've sinned against you, God. But it says that when they walk contrary to me, and so I walk contrary to them. But if their uncircumcised heart is humbled, and they make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. Now, he's confessing the sins of the people, the sins for himself, verses 5 through 15. But then in verse 16, we see a shift in his prayer. His prayer moves from confessing to pleading with God to show mercy according to his righteousness, because he's already said that, God, we deserve it. I know we do. But you are righteous, O God. So not according to us, he says, to show mercy according to your righteousness. And he says, God, let your anger and your wrath turn away from the city of Jerusalem, his holy hill. And then Daniel reminds God that we are your people. The neighbors are talking about us. Because you see, when you brought us out of Egypt, everybody understood who you were, God. But now, because of our sins, they're talking about us. So not for our sake, God, do this thing. Not for our sake, God, revive us. Not for our sake, God, but for your sake, God, turn this around. Have mercy on us, God, for your sake, for you are righteous, not because of our name, God, but because of your name. And then he says to God, I need you to hear, God. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, hearken and do this thing. Now, verse 19, he begins to just ask God to forgive, to hear them. And then verse 20, this is what I like, verse 20. It says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at first flight, has come to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he made me understand, speaking with me and saying, oh, Daniel, I have come out to give you insight and understanding. And this is the good news right here. At the beginning, see, when he first started calling on God, God wants Daniel to know, and he wants you to know, that at the beginning, when you first started confessing, when you first started seeking my face, when you first started surrendering, that I heard your plea. At the beginning of your plea for mercy, a word went out. God sent the word out. He sent the word out at the beginning. And he said, and I've come to tell it to you, for you, Daniel, are greatly loved. For you, Union, are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Now, let's look at the vision for a little bit. Gabriel tells Daniel at the beginning of your plea, a word went out. The word, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. So we see there God providing the answer for the people of Jerusalem, Israel, Judah, far off, far away. And the 70 weeks there is 70 times 7, 490 years. 490 years, and then God, the Messiah, is going to come, and he's going to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. He is going to be crucified for our sins, and that's good news, because our sins are going to be washed away. And so we see now in the New Testament, Jesus teaching. And Peter comes up to him and says, Lord, how many times shall one forgive a brother? And Jesus says, 70 times 7. So we see here the connection. 70 times 7, 490. God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness in totality. So he wants the people to know, he wants us to know that your sins are totally forgiven. And I have sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. And so 70 times 7, complete forgiveness, complete restoration through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, down a little bit further, he talks about no more sacrifices. Why? Because Christ has come to be our ultimate sacrifice. He's the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus says in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. God wants to forgive us. He has already forgiven us. He's nailed it to the cross. We see Jesus as the perfect sacrifice, the lamb that was slain for the forgiveness of sin. This is the word he's given to Daniel. Sins were going to be forgiven once and for all. All the iniquity, Daniel. All the sins you're standing in the gap for, everything is going to be forgiven through the coming and the crucifixion of Jesus. And so in Mark chapter 15, verse 25, we see in the morning sacrifice at about 9 a.m., the Bible says, Christ is crucified. But then we see that he hangs on the cross, nailing our sins to the cross. Forgiveness of sins, the word from Daniel. And he says, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, which is around 3 p.m. So he's satisfied the morning and the evening sacrifice. He's the perfect Lamb of God. Standing in the gap for the people, he becomes the gap. He becomes the bridge. He's standing in our place, forgiving our sins, the perfect sacrifice. And around 3 p.m., around time of the evening sacrifice, he hangs his head. and he dies for you and for me, taking our sins on him, forgiving us completely, once and for all. And the Bible says that the temple veil was torn from top to bottom, that no more sacrifices need to be done because the ultimate sacrifice has come and your sins are now forgiven. Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad that he washes as white as snow? Aren't you glad that he's standing in the gap? And he continues to stand in the gap even on today. Church, Christ is coming back. And until he comes back, he's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. When you look around the community, when you read your word, are we like Daniel? Do we begin to seek God? Do we begin to open up our word and begin to pray? Do we begin to prepare ourselves for prayer? We've got crack houses in Swissvale. Are we standing in the gap to pray for the people? To confess our sins? To ask God to come in and heal the land? Are we praying for our communities? Jesus says that I am sending you the Spirit, and the Spirit continues to make intercession for us. Romans 8, 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So Christ gets up with all power in his hand. Sins forgiven, forgiven, nailed to the cross. And day by day, as we seek God in prayer, it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not even know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with the groaning too deep for words. Thank you, Jesus. He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And not only do we have the Holy Spirit on earth with us as he dwells in our temples, making intercession for us, standing in the gap for us, but it says we have Jesus is the one who died. And more than that, Romans 8, 34, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Put your mind's eye on the Spirit. Can I just have you for a second? Can I have you for a second? The Spirit interceding, standing in the gap as we pray, the Spirit interceding for us, making groans that we don't even understand, praying on our behalf according to the will of the Father. Jesus at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, the Spirit interceding. Christ saying, yeah, Daddy, that's according to your word. Grant it according to your will. Christ making intercession for us. The Spirit helping us to pray. We don't even know what we should pray for. Christ interpreting the prayer, interceding on our behalf. Stand, thank you. Standing in the gap. Standing in the gap. John says, I'm writing, my little children, so that you may know and that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world. Anybody sin today? We have an advocate with the Father. He's standing in the gap. He's calling you to repent. He's calling you to believe the work, the finished work of the cross, that your sins are forgiven. That's the word to Daniel. Forgiven. Forgiveness. Totally forgiven. I'm sending my son. He's going to be the final sacrifice. Totally forgiven. As we stand all over the building, sins forgiven from the past. Sins of today, sins of our future, forgiven. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. God is calling us. For he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, humble ourselves like Daniel did, humble ourselves and pray, seek my face. But not only seek my face, God died for our sins so that we can turn. Turn from our wicked ways. We don't have to do this thing by ourselves. God is coming back. God is coming back for a people. And he wants you to be ready. So the Spirit interceding, Jesus, the right hand of the Father, praying for us. As you consider the word of the Lord, won't you come? Your sins are forgiven. He wants to give you life and that more abundantly. He died for you. He died for me. And because he died, we have an advocate with the Father. He's restored that relationship. So this Thanksgiving, will we stand in the gap for our community? Will we stand in the gap for our country? Will we stand in the gap for our church? Will we stand in the gap for our family? We've got to pray, church, for salvation. For God to draw us closer to him so that we can live for him. Confess our sins. Restore us, O God. Remake us, O God. Save us, O God. Is there one willing to say, I have sinned, and I need you, God. I need you, God. I need you, God. Is there one willing that says, God, I've fallen away. I'm like those people that you talked about. I have forgotten my first love. God wants to restore you back to himself. He's standing in the gap. You don't have to live no longer for yourself. It's not about you. It's about him. He loves you. He wants to save you. He has provided a way out. And his name is Jesus. Won't you come? Let God love you like no other. Let God save you. Let God heal you. Let him deliver you. He said, sins forgiven. It's done. It's finished. Don't be afraid. It's the best decision. Fear not. Fear not. He wants to restore you. He wants to love you.